Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today's episode is one of my favorite topics, bloating. Now, it's something that used to happen to me a lot. It's getting a lot better since I've been working on my back, so I'm going to talk a lot about that today. But it's also one of the most common reasons folks come into my office and want some help. And if they don't directly come into my office for bloating, chances are we're going to talk about it at some point because it's a common complaint. And a lot of us just blow it off and go, oh, it's normal. It's no big deal. Most folks are supposed to be bloated by the end of the afternoon. No. If you feel like you need to unbutton your pants, kind of Al Bundy style, if you remember who he is, now that's not normal. Your belly shouldn't be looking like you're 3 to 6 to 8 months pregnant at the end of the day or after food. That is not a normal thing. Something's up with your digestion. And we're going to talk all about reasons why you're getting bloating, what to do about it, what to do about it in the minute when you're like, oh, I cannot have this. This is so painful. So let's talk about reasons. The number one reason why that I find is that people actually don't take enough time to chew their food. In fact, it seems that a lot of us just inhale our food, kind of like the dog. You know, I give my dog a piece of lunch meat. And yes, those of you out here there who are dog lovers, yeah, I know it's not the best thing to do. I don't do it that often. But, you know, sometimes you got to have some bribes, right? So I give the dog a piece of lunch meat and he inhales the whole thing. I don't even think he takes one bite. And I think a lot of us might be like that. We might take a couple bites and then boom, gone. I have heard over and over again the average American takes like 7 chews before they swallow. And it should be more like 25, ideally. Because we have teeth, we should use them, spend a lot of money going to the dentist. Hopefully you're going to the dentist. If not, I better do a podcast on that. But you need to chew your food. Your teeth are free. It's no supplement that you have to buy. It's nothing fancy. And it can go a long way. I have found focusing just on eating and not doing other things while you eat is quite impressive for helping with general health and bloating in particular. Because if you look back at the times when you've become the most bloated, chances are you're rushing around at work, you didn't have time to just focus on your food over lunchtime, or perhaps it was a holiday and you were talking with people and just not chewing enough because, you know, it's not really polite to talk and be chomping on food. So things to think about. Now, the other biggie for bloating is eating too much. And I am totally guilty of this. I love food and sometimes I love it too much and put too big of portions on the plate. And this probably happens to all of us at one time or other. And so if you think back to the lovely holidays like Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, and you know, you eat a lot. Now, granted, the food is rich, and so your body's gonna struggle to digest in the first place, and we'll talk about that too here in my next point. But watching portion control, and there are ways to go about that, and I'm gonna talk about that a little bit later in the podcast. Now, my third reason for why folks get bloated is because of digestive enzymes. Anyone who's over 30 is going to have less digestive enzymes. Anyone who's stressed is actually going to have less digestive enzymes coming out of their pancreas, and their stomach's going to produce less hydrochloric acid, contrary to what we're often told that when we're stressed, we produce too much acid. Now, yes, in some cases, some folks could, but I find it's more often than not a lack of digestive enzyme production versus overproduction. So something to think about, because you eat your food super fast, right? And you eat too much of it, and then you've got a food bomb going in. Now, a lot of people call it food babies. You know, you eat and then you feel just so bloated that everything feels like it's sitting in the belly. That is one type of bloating. I think we need to talk about anatomy here for a second. Your stomach's on the left upper rib cage area. That's where your stomach sits. If you feel like you're bloated and have a food baby there right after eating, that would be appropriate. That's your stomach. Now, if you're getting bloated lower down, so from belly button down or kind of your general abdomen area, if that starts expanding, that's your intestines. So different areas. Now, going back to lacking digestive enzymes, if you're feeling like your food just sits in your stomach and doesn't move along, you probably need a digestive enzyme that has a little bit of hydrochloric acid. And I'll talk about that in a little bit, how to do that safely. Now, if it feels like food is bloating you later on down the way, say 3, 4 p.m., you're getting that 7-month pregnant look, now I'm talking about pancreatic enzymes. These are things called lipase, which breaks down fat, protease breaks down protein, and then you've got a whole bunch of different ones for breaking down carbs like amylase and hemicellulase, and I'm not going to bore you with geeky words, but that is a real deal, and I see it change people's lives to just take a digestive enzyme. Now, it's really popular for us to hear about apple cider vinegar and doing that as a shot before each meal. Yes, it can help, but it's not strong enough for a lot of people. So something to think about. Plus, apple cider vinegar is really hard on your teeth and your enamel. So also another big thing that if you are struggling with getting more and more cavities and you've been doing the apple cider vinegar religiously, you might want to back off and switch to other options. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, another reason you might be getting some bloating is you might have an imbalance in your gut bugs, otherwise known as your gut microbiome. So the bugs that live on your gut lining. These guys like to maintain a delicate balance. And if they get shifted one way or the other based on your dietary habits or, you know, if you've been camping and you got Giardia, which you would know, but you would have chronic, really loose diarrhea. That's a parasite kind of thing. You could also have a different parasite if you went to India, you know, Indonesia, some of those areas, Thailand. I've seen folks come back with some really interesting stuff. But if it's not a parasite, it could be a shift in bacteria, a shift in yeast. So what I often see is folks will go on vacation to a tropical area. They'll be hitting up the fruity, like, tropical drinks like the daiquiris and the pina coladas and the cocoa slides. Cocoa slides are a mudslide version of amazing drink in the Cayman Islands. But anyway, you hit those up a little too much sugar, and your body's going to shift towards having a little bit more yeast growth in the gut. And so when that happens, sometimes folks can get some pretty significant bloating, especially with eating carbs. So something to think about there. Now, the next reason you might be getting bloated is the food and lectin intolerance category. Now, lectins are proteins that are on plants to help actually protect the plant from prey, prey meaning us. And so the idea is that you eat the food and you don't feel so good, so you don't eat it again. But us humans, we're kind of goofy like that. We're like, but it tastes so good. I'm just going to keep eating it. And so foods with high lectin content are things like legumes, so your beans. You're also looking at grains. You're looking at the nightshades. And so that's why they're demonized. It's because they are harder for us to digest. They contain proteins that are there to protect them from invaders and protect them from prey such as us. And we're just not smart enough to realize that eating those over and over again and cooking them improperly cause us trouble. So I'm going to talk about how to cook them properly so that they're more easily digested and so you don't get bloating. And that being said, I mentioned food intolerances. Some people, if you've been overdoing it on wheat, you've been overdoing it on corn, soy, dairy, those all can cause some bloating issues too. And so why I'm always a huge proponent of rotate, chill out for a little bit, avoid them for a little bit, then bring them back in, but just don't hit it up day in, day out. So don't get in a food rut, moral of the story. Well, and we'll talk about more detail here in a little bit too. Leaky gut. I've talked about that quite a bit. Sounds kind of gross. It's when your digestive system lining has become irritated because of food sitting on it, and it separates apart, and we get molecules of food in the bloodstream that we normally shouldn't, and then the body's creating immune system reaction. And so that immune system reaction is happening right at the lining of the gut in its interaction with the bloodstream, and so you can get some bloating and water retention in the abdominal area thanks to leaky gut. Another B is low estradiol. And so this happens to ladies in particular. This is when we start to go through menopause. Our estrogen levels drop, and estradiol is a key hormone for keeping the tendons and ligaments strong, but it's also for keeping the gut lining strong. I find a lot of ladies around menopause will start to have gut issues. And in fact, it's kind of like an epidemic where colitis and things of that nature start coming up. And colitis, by the way, is inflammation of the gut lining. And it's really just the matter of figuring out how to support estradiol. So we can talk about that too in a minute. Now, stress trashing the gut lining. Pretty much everybody has a little bit of this going on. And this would be my version of what we hear in the news. Oh, stress causes a lot of stomach acid to be produced. No. Stress causes folks to think they have too much stomach acid, causing them to take Tums and things of that nature to block proper digestion, further causing the gut lining to become trash because food sits longer and longer and longer. Tums can be useful in the moment, but you don't want to make a habit of it because what it's going to do is it's going to block your ability to digest food properly. So keep that in mind. But what stress really does is it causes leaky gut. It causes your digestive system lining to separate. And so you're going to have immune reactions to foods. Then you're going to have more food intolerances and things of that nature. That is why you'll hear your grandma, your grandpa, maybe your parents saying, I just seem to not tolerate X, Y, or Z like I used to. It's because their food's becoming leaky because of stressors over time. So keep that in mind. What is stress reaction in the body? Oftentimes the body creates histamines, and histamines are a warning signal that something's off. We bring fluid, we bring inflammatory markers to the area when we have a warning sign. And if we bring fluid to the area, you're going to get bloating. So stress can definitely cause a lot of issues to your gut. Another biggie is not drinking enough water. Now that might seem weird, but in addition to using our teeth to chew, we use water to split the molecules of food apart. And we really use water to split molecules of carbohydrates. So bread, crackers, fruits, things of that nature, we really need decent amounts of water to split those guys apart to digest them effectively on the minute level. So I often go back to this concept with a lot of folks because I would much rather have people doing the simple things in life versus taking mounds of pills. And so if you're not drinking enough water and you're not chewing enough, these could be very simple fixes for your bloating. The last but most important one, I think, in terms of the bloat factor is being too sedentary, sitting for too long of periods. Think of it this way. What happens to you when you take a long road trip? Or what happens to you when you're on a long plane trip? Sometimes you get bloated. Why? Because you're compressing your intestines. You're not allowing them to move like they should. When you walk, you're moving them. When you stretch your abdominal muscles and your hip flexors, you're getting movement. And so one of the hugest ones next to not chewing enough and not getting enough water is movement. And incredibly so. It's a huge one. So I'm going to go into more detail in a little bit. So I kind of outlined those 10 reasons that I find as the top ones for why folks become bloated. And don't worry, I will have a resource page for you on this so you can see all of my tips as to how to undo the bloating. So we've got 10 of them, and now you might be thinking to yourself, how do I know which one is which? How do I know what the source of my bloating is? Well, you've got to do a little sleuthing. And I'll be honest, sometimes it's more than one thing causing your bloating. It's sometimes not exactly straightforward, like, oh, it's absolutely this. It might be a combination of factors, like I said before, not drinking enough water, not digesting, you know, not chewing your food enough, and being too sedentary. That's three things. And very common why folks have bloating. So how do we tell which is which? First, you got to start sleuthing. You want to journal. And I know this sounds super annoying, but what you don't track, you can't manage. So get out your journal and start a food journal to figure out what you're up to. In particular, start journaling what you ate and how you feel. And just put it next to your desk at work. Put it somewhere where you can make brief notes. And you could do notes on your phone. You don't have to actually even write it out these days. I kind of like old school writing, but you do whatever works for you. And so making a point as to what you ate, how you felt, and then when the bloating shows up, note when you feel it. Is it right after a meal? Is it 2 hours after a meal? Is it only at like 3, 4, 5 p.m.? Is it first thing in the morning? These are all critical components to figuring out what's up with the bloating. Because if the bloating happens right after you eat, say within a half hour, then you're lacking your enzymes in your stomach. You need to be chewing food more because you release enzymes in your mouth. Even before you even get the food in your mouth, you actually are releasing enzymes just thinking about that food. And so chewing water and breaking down the food in the gut is where you're going to want to be focusing, right in that stomach area, which usually involves digestive enzymes that have something called hydrochloric acid or Swedish bitters. Those can be extremely useful. Or things like pineapple, papaya, and kiwi. They all have bromelain. Bromelain helps us to break down proteins. At this moment, I should probably also note that sometimes it's certain foods that'll cause us to have trouble with bloating. Some people it's meats, you know, some people it's fats, some people it's carbs. That's significant too, because meats and fats mean that you're lacking certain enzymes. Like meats, bromelain could be part of it. Proteases, peptidases, hydrochloric acid could be part of that. Fats, lipase. Carbohydrates, on the other hand, that's something called amylase. It's also a possibility that you have overgrowth of yeast or bacteria in your gut because there's some yeast and bacteria that absolutely love to live off of carbs. So pay attention to what you ate, how you feel, and when that bloating shows up. Is it right after the meal? Is it a couple hours later? If it's a couple hours later, it's further down in the intestines. If it's 3 p.m. in the afternoon and you're 7 months pregnant, you're looking at intestines. If it's first thing in the morning, you're looking at intestines and possibility of gut yeast or, you know, bacterial overgrowth, those kind of things. Okay, so now that that's out of the way, let's talk about how to manage all these specific details of the contributors to bloating. So number one, not chewing enough. You gotta chew 25 times per bite and focus on eating. No multitasking. I know this seems really hard, and this is like the hardest one for me in the universe because I like to eat and work. I have a busy practice, and so sometimes it's hard for me just to eat. And I resorted to doing smoothies during lunch, and it didn't work out because I ended up having food sensitivities to the foods that I was eating over and over again, and I knew better. Even though I was rotating my protein powders, I ended up with food sensitivities to every single one of my protein powders. So my rice, my pea, and my whey protein. So there you have it. You probably can learn a good lesson from me. Chew 25 times per bite. Focus on eating. Don't multitask. Just spend time with your food. And when I say no multitasking, I'm really talking about just focusing on eating. It doesn't matter if you have a friend with you. You know, obviously, keep chewing in between your conversation. I'm not telling you to, you know, hide and not socialize while eating, but I think it might be important to keep in mind that, yes, you should focus on just eating, but having a friend there that's maybe doing the same is a good supportive tool. So find a buddy that can be your chewing buddy. It sounds like fun. Okay, I'm a nerd. All right, well, let's move on to the next one. Eating too much. This is one of my problems, but you know, one day at a time. So do you know what a normal portion looks like? Something to think about, because I think a lot of us over time, we keep supersizing things. Our eyes start to just keep getting bigger than our stomachs. And I think that's a fun little phrase. My eyes are bigger than my stomach. Well, yes. And most of the time they are. And a lot of people will say this when they get full quicker than they can finish what's on the plate. But unfortunately, a lot of times we just keep eating even though we are full. So trying to see if you can slow yourself down when your stomach feels satisfied and not overstuffed. Because the more you overstuff yourself, the more your body's going to have to counter what you just put in. And that's going to make it really hard, especially if you're over 30, to break down that food if you're lacking digestive enzymes. Another component of eating too much is too much of one thing. If you ate a dense carb meal, like for example, hummus and crackers, great, healthier snack if you're going to do a snack, and say if you made the crackers yourself with quinoa flour or something incredible. But there's a lot of carbs in that. That's, you know, hummus has, those garbanzo beans have carbs. They also have lectins, which is a whole nother story in terms of irritating food. But what you're thinking about here is that if something is like all cereal, or say you ate a waffle and you put whipped cream and you put a whole bunch of maple syrup on it, that's a lot of carbs. And so your body might struggle to break down a pure carb meal. Or say you ate beef jerky. You're on the run and that's all you ate, and you hurried up and, you know, you ate a whole bag of beef jerky. That could be hard on the gut too. Another biggie is raw foods, very cold foods. This is hard for our guts to digest in general. And then if you do that when it's winter time out, that is going to make a huge impact on your gut and your ability to break that food down. Our digestive system likes our food slightly warmed. It likes things slightly digested for it. It's important. So taking a look at what you're doing in terms of cold food, or taking a look at if you like to eat out and you get ice water all the time, what does ice do to your skin and your muscles? It kind of freezes the area, so it numbs it out, right? Well, it does the same thing to your stomach, and your stomach can't signal properly to digest food. So if you're hitting up a bunch of ice water, you're gonna have problems with bloating. So keep that in mind, especially over time. The more you do it, the more it happens. Oftentimes, I will see it happen if you go out to eat and you're going like to say a steak dinner, and they put down your ice water and you start sipping on your ice water, and then you get your bread basket, and then you finally get your steak after you've had a salad. So let's see, this is all like raw stuff, the salad, you've got like the ice cold water, so this is cold, you get some carbs in there, and I mean, it just makes for a hard time to break down food. But mostly the ice water and the salad, I mean, the carbs are going to be in there, the body's going to be trying to digest them anyway, and so it's like adding the big steak on top of it is like just a lot for that stomach to deal with. So something to think about. It's can make a huge difference. You know, think about the last time you went to an Asian restaurant. They didn't give you a big glass of ice water. They gave you a small little cup of tea. And if you ever wonder why that is, it's because it's the concept in Chinese medicine is to not overload the stomach with liquids when you're going to eat. You don't want to dilute your digestive enzymes, but you want to just slightly warm the digestive system, letting it know we're going to prepare for food. There's a lot we can learn about eating from the Chinese medicine dietary theory and principles. It's incredible. All right, moving on. Lacking digestive enzymes. I've already kind of alluded to this, because if we don't have our digestive enzymes, we're not going to break the food down well. And one of the biggies is, do you have smelly gas? Does it smell like fruity, which is more of a carb breakdown thing, or does it sound smelly, kind of rotting flesh, pretty fetid? That's going to be difficulty breaking down meats and or fats. And in fact, a lot of people who have pretty smelly gas, it's more of a fat and protein issue versus a carb issue. Carb gas smells, either doesn't smell, or it's going to smell kind of on the fruitier side. So that's fun, huh? Yikes. But anyway, it does kind of give us an idea. So that being said, digestive enzymes are huge. One of the things I highly recommend working on. Now, gut bug imbalance. This is something that's kind of really come to light in the last couple of years online. The whole gut microbiome concept is blowing up right now. And folks are curious about figuring out what's imbalanced in the gut. The most important thing to think about with gut bug imbalances is, what do you eat? If you're eating a keto type of diet and you still have bloating, Well, then that means that you might not have enough of the good bugs to break down your fats and proteins, which could lead back to, yes, digestive enzymes might be important, but you could also think of it in terms of, oh, well, maybe you need to supplement with a probiotic at this time and take like a bottle and then see if the bloating improves. Now, another thing is, if you're eating more carbs than anything, like you're a carboholic, you love bread, you love crackers, you might have more yeast in the gut, or you might have more bacteria that feed off of carbs. So in this case, you might be thinking, how do I deal with this? I can't stop eating the carbs. Well, you could limit them. You don't have to stop them. I don't think anyone should do that. I mean, the keto diet changes gut bugs in general. So yes, over time, the bloating goes down because you're not feeding the bugs that would normally be eating the carbs and fermenting them. So if you do go back to a regular based diet with a little bit more carbs, you might find that you bloat more. And I do find that a lot of people will be on a paleo or keto diet and then go back to eating carbs and they have ridiculous bloating. And it's because now you've just started to feed your bacteria that like the carbs. So what do you do about gut bug imbalances? There are herbs. There's one in particular called biocidin. I absolutely love it. It is a formula that works really well to weed out gut bugs that are non-beneficial that tend to cause bloating. And that combined with something called Megaspore. Megaspore is a spore-based probiotic that's a policing probiotic. Those are my two favorites for working on gut bug imbalances. In terms of yeast, grapefruit seed extract is really great, and so is Candicid Forte by Ortho Molecular Products. Those are my favorites in terms of working on killing down some yeast in the gut. Don't worry, you can go to the podcast notes and I will have a link to my how do you get rid of X, Y, or Z that I've mentioned in this podcast. Now, lectins and food intolerances. Well, to know about food intolerances, the easiest way is to get a food sensitivity test, which is going to look at delayed sensitivity reaction in this case, because you're going to know if you have an anaphylactic, meaning an immediate sensitivity reaction. Your mouth's going to tingle, your lips are going to swell up, you're going to have difficulty breathing. But this delayed sensitivity stuff, that's where some of the bloating could be coming from. And there's a company called Alcat. It's my favorite testing. It's white blood cell testing for food intolerances. And don't worry, I'll have a link for that, but that would be where I would start. The other place that I would start is the most common food sensitivities are wheat, dairy, soy, corn, nightshades, mushrooms, green beans, and the high sulfur foods like eggs, garlic, and onions, plus high histamine foods such as spinach, strawberries, chocolate, aged cheeses, bacon, so the prepared meats and things of that nature. So these are big deals, things to think about. And if you're doing your journal and noticing that some of these foods are an issue, you want to make sure that you chart that and perhaps take a little break off these foods or get a food sensitivity test. Now, lectins are the other biggie in this department. And lectins are in legumes, so beans, lentils, squash, and grains. Also, lectins are in the nightshades. Now, how do you get rid of the lectins? You boil them, you ferment them, you sprout them, you pressure cook them, and that's going to either lower or eliminate the lectins in those foods and make it more digestible for you. So if you're having trouble with beans and squash and grains and nightshades, just cook them better. Pre-digest them for yourself and see how it goes. So leaky gut, kind of the same concept as what I just talked about, the food sensitivities, because leaky gut, it's molecules of food getting crossed in the bloodstream and you're having immune system reactions against these. So really big deal here is to look at your symptoms and chart and see like, okay, is it an everyday thing? And am I eating, you know, certain foods every day? You want to be working on rotating your foods. You know, once a week, you could do like a whole oatmeal day for the week if you prepped, or not oatmeal day, but oatmeal week for breakfast for the whole week if you meal prep that. And then to the next week, switch to something else or try to rotate daily. I mean, it's a little bit harder if you meal prep ahead, but, you know, just rotate your food is the moral of the story here. Now, Let's talk a little bit about hormones. Okay, so low estradiol, I had alluded to that before, that's very common in menopausal women, also perimenopausal women, and really stressed out women. So if you're a lady and you're struggling with bloating, ask your doc to test your estradiol levels. Now, not wise to test them if you're on birth control, because it's going to suppress the level anyway. But if you're not on birth control, it's important to see where your estradiol levels are, because if they're really low, and say you have bloating and you have chronic diarrhea and your gut's just not right, it seems that foods are just irritating you and you're becoming more and more sensitive to things, chances are you've got a little low estradiol and you need to support that, because low estradiol can cause leaky gut, which is the molecules getting crossed in the bloodstream, causing aches and pains, causing bloating, causing joint aches. It just doesn't feel good to have leaky gut. It's just like this general feeling of like, ugh. So something to keep in mind. Now, stress trashing the gut lining is also kind of in the same concept as the leaky gut, because unfortunately, when we're stressed and we're stress eating and whatnot, it causes a big problem for our digestive system, because physiologically, when we're under stress and we have higher levels of cortisol floating through our bloodstream, we are in our caveman bodies preparing to escape a bear. When you want to escape a bear, do you want to have blood in your gut area? Do you want to be focused on blood there? No, you're not resting and digesting. You are running away. You're fighting or flighting. And so what that means is you've got blood in your muscles and your periphery, but you don't have proper amounts of blood flow to your gut, meaning you can't get the nutrients in and out of the gut like you should. You can't get the nutrients to the nerves, to fire the nerves like you should, to move your gut. This is why when people are stressed, they often become constipated. It's a big deal. So it's unfortunate that our bodies are also programmed to eat more when we're stressed. Ugh, because unfortunately, you eat more, you put more food in your body, and then you don't have enough blood flow to digest the food that you just ate. It's like digestive suicide. It's a big deal. And so having constipation chronically is part of it, or having chronic diarrhea. Because the other thing is if we get food in our gut and we have too much blood in our arms and legs to run away from bears, well, sometimes the body has a trigger of just dump the food. We don't need it. Get rid of it. We got to run away from this bear. So there's a lot of, I guess you could say, links here to bloating related to stress and stress levels. So working on that stress management, folks. Now, not enough water. Often when we're stressed, we tend to not drink as much water too. It's like we just don't think about it. And dehydration is a really big issue, like I mentioned before, because we need water to split food molecules down in the process of breaking down foods, and in particular carbs. So if you're a carboholic, you better be drinking your water, because otherwise your body's going to just ask you for more food to help you to break down things. It's going to try to get the water out of food molecules, which is crazy. So just don't get dehydrated. Moral of the story. And the idea is like drinking half your body weight in ounces a day, and kind of adding a little bit more, say 10 to 16 ounces more based on how much exercise you're doing during the day. Now, those of you who are diet Cokeaholics or soda drinkers, or because notice diet Cokeaholics and soda, very different in my mind. Any diet drink is almost worse than a regular soda drink, just saying, because now you have the fake sugar that your body doesn't know what to do with, which can also cause bloating, and then you've got the high amount of carbohydrate that's in that soda and all the high fructose corn syrup and God knows whatever else. Blah, not good for you. That can dehydrate you. Coffee can dehydrate you. Alcohol, yes, huge dehydrator. So something to think about in terms of why you might be bloated. Yeast that's in alcohols, especially wine and beer, huge bloater. So if you're noticing that every time you drink alcohol, you are ridiculously bloated, you've got a couple things happening there. Alcohol irritates the gut. You might be dehydrated, and you might even have an overgrowth of yeast, in which Candacid Forte by Orthomolecular Products or grapefruit seed extract, pure encapsulations, go grab those suckers and start getting the yeast down in the gut. one bottle, that's all. I'll tell you how to take it in my resources at drjkrausnd.com/resources. I'll tell you what to do, where to find it, all that jazz. But it might be something that you want to get on top of because it's not comfortable sometimes, especially the alcohol ones. I found that for the patients that come in, and myself included, usually the pain with that kind of bloating is pretty intense. So what I'm saying here is yeasty bloating can be really intense pain, painful bloats. So too sedentary. This one's a biggie here. I think a lot of us don't realize how much we sit during the day. And I think a lot of us don't counter all the sitting because your hip flexors and those muscles in the front of your abdomen are going to compress and they're going to be tightened all day long to help keep you on that lovely chair you're sitting on while you're doing your amazing work. So if you have chronic back pain, it's possible that that too, those tight muscles in the back could be related to the tight muscles in the front of you because they're having a war as to who's going to help keep your back stable. And so those of you who have back pain, oftentimes the bloating concept goes along with the back pain. So moral of the story here, you got to get that back moving better. Perhaps you got to strengthen your glutes to help with back mobility, foam rolling the back, lacrosse rolling the back. Same thing with your hip flexors. The iliopsoas muscle in particular. This is a muscle that can really wreak havoc on your back and cause a lot of back pain and SI joint pain. So that's sacral pain in the low back. But it also is the one that compresses your nerves that go to your intestines because it lives right next to your spine where those nerves come out. So the tighter your back, the more possibility you're going to have bloating because you're messing with the nerves that go to your gut. So work on mobility, work on releasing your psoas, work on moving more. The more you move, the better you're going to feel stretching the back, which leads into why yoga poses are amazing for helping with bloating because they're essentially stretching your back muscles and opening up your pelvis so that the nerves can fire properly and you can get rid of that bloat for good. So I will put what a psoas stretch is, what that looks like in my resources at drjkrausnd.com. So head over there if you're wondering what does that mean? What does that look like? Now, a lot of folks are probably going, okay, that's great. I know what to do in the long run, but like, what if I'm bloated right now? What the heck should I do? Well, I often will keep digestive enzymes on hand. And one of the cheapest, easiest digestive enzymes out there would be either the Swedish Bitters, which is a liquid, or Urban Moonshine, which is another company that sells bitters, or having a bottle of papaya enzymes by American Health. They're chewable. You can just chew two of them and boom, food gets broken down a lot better. The Swedish Bitters, this is a liquid. You could carry a little dropper with you. And or the Urban Moonshine, you can carry a little dropper with you in your purse if you're a lady, or guys, put it in your glove compartment of the car. These are things that in the moment you could do that. The other thing would be if you have somewhere you can go hide for a moment and stretch, doing the up dog, if you're familiar with that pose, or cobra, you can do those to kind of help stretch the abdomen a little bit. Runner's pose can help with your hip flexor. Downward dog even helps too, just trying to help to loosen up the back and loosen up the abdomen. I like doing hip circles. Hula hooping, also another fun one to help to open up the abdomen. So something to consider if you're in the moment. Now also eating papaya, pineapple, kiwi, if you have access to that, grab some, eat a quarter cup of the papaya or pineapple, eat a kiwi, that can help in the moment. Foam rolling your abdomen. So just laying on the floor and starting at your rib cage and rolling downward and then go back, put the foam roller at your rib cage, roll downward. Yeah, you might pass some gas. Who cares? Just get that bloat moving. Get your abdomen moving, get your back moving, even back stretches like I said before too. So in the moment, those are the things that I would be recommending. Yes, there are formulas that can help with countering bloating, but they don't work as fast as these tricks there. And unless you know what your source is, you're going to just keep chasing the bloat. So highly recommend sleuthing out what's going on, figuring out like what is happening with the bloat. Why are you getting it? If you have to, consider getting a stool test to see what's happening in your large intestine. Consider Viome or Smart Gut. You can get these online. Viome in particular is awesome. All you have to do is swab your toilet paper after a good poo and see what's going on in there, what kind of bugs you have. It's awesome. Alcat, this is food sensitivity testing, another great way to go about it. So something to think about. And if you're a lady and you're wondering if it's hormones, don't forget about estradiol and get that checked out. Really important stuff here. So I've talked to you all about how to counter bloating, but like I said, the most important thing is journaling and really getting some data for yourself, or bring it to your doc and see if your doc can help you with sleuthing it out if you're struggling. But I've given you a lot of tools today. If you're wondering what they all are and where they're all at, they're on my website at drjcrossnd.com/resources. Scroll down. I have a lot of resources these days. Go down to the bottom. You'll find them there. Also, you could go to my podcast notes that are on drjcrossnd.com with episode 110, and it will have all the links to my resources that I've mentioned, from how to reduce the lectins, how to cook the lectins, so the boiling and the fermenting, to even Precision Nutrition. They're a great company. By the way, it's a calorie control guide, so learning your portions. So if you're struggling with figuring out what a proper portion is for you, Precision Nutrition has a great resource for that. And yoga poses for bloating. Huffington Post put out one that was amazing about 2 years ago for it, and it's 10 yoga poses to help with digestion. So check that out too. Got those all at the end in my resource notes. So everybody, you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausend.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.